Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got you. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End. I'm Marcus Dash here with my brother, Tasia Dash. Jason may stop in a little later on in the episode. He's having some family emergency stuff to deal with. So I'm going to, he's dealing with that. So tonight is our final Monday mock draft of the offseason or of draft season, yeah. I guess.
This is the Monday night loose ends, maybe.
Yeah, Monday Night Loose Ends. Oh, man. I like that. Ants, you and me, not tight ends. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, everybody. I see everybody in the chat. I got Donna, Wendy, Vegas Chiefs Kingdom, Charles Driver, Lewis Cuthbert. I'm the Browns in here. I'm the Vegas. Okay, Wendy, Melly Matrix. All right. We got some. Yeah, the usual suspects. I love it. Yeah, Donna. Yeah, I'll definitely let JD know that you guys are sending your love and well wishes. He said he might stop in, but we'll see. I don't expect him to, but he might stop in. With this episode tonight, obviously, we've done four rounds. Our first one 2 weeks ago, Monday mock one. Monday mock two was five rounds. Yep. And then this week we have it's a four round one. But the way we went about it is Tasia and JD were going to do their ideal draft. So if they were the ones running the show, what they do, the crazy trades they'd make to try to get in certain guys, maybe trade back, trade up. So Tasia's going to go through it, what he has in mind. And obviously, I mentioned it But this week, since it's a special week, we have a million shows. I'll get into our streaming schedule this week. We're going to give you guys a lot of opportunities to get some gifts and surprises. So throughout the night, I'm going to do two giveaways tonight, two Chief Concerns headband giveaways tonight for you guys. Ooh. So I'm going to give you guys either some Chiefs trivia, so either a past person we've drafted, a college that person went to, or a little nugget about a guy in this draft class. And the first one to get it in the chat, we'll do two of them. We'll get a Chief Concerns headband, Patrick Mahomes like headband, or a Marcus Dash, a flag football Cobra Kai headband. If you guys follow us on Twitter, you guys know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to quickly run through our schedule for this week so you guys can be updated on everything that we got going on this week, because it's a lot. It's a lot. It's going to be a busy week for us, and it's draft week, draft season, so we know what comes with that one. All right, so this is our schedule, guys. So tonight, obviously, we got 8 o'clock, Monday Mock 3.0, YouTube, Chief Concerns, our normal Chief Concerns YouTube episode, Wednesday, 8 o'clock. And then Thursday night, after the Chiefs select their first-round pick, so it could be 11 o'clock. I'm expecting us to have our 32nd pick overall, so I'm assuming it'll be at 11 o'clock, maybe later, might be earlier than that. But if we trade up, obviously we'll have a reaction there to discuss it. And then Friday at noon, it'll be on Bleacher Report, but we'll also have it on our YouTube channel shortly after if you guys cannot watch the live on Bleacher Report. But that's going to be a preview to day two to see who's out there, what meat's left on the bone, how we like our pick a day after the fact, and also previewing the guys out there and what our needs still are. And then obviously that night, after the second or third round concludes, we'll be back on our YouTube channel to talk about who we drafted that night on Friday. And of course, Saturday to finish off the draft, we got rounds 4 through 7. 4 through 7 will be, ends around 6 o'clock. Me, Tasia, and JD will be on to discuss everything going on with that. And then Sunday at 2 o'clock, a Bleacher Report. If you can't make that, it'll be on our YouTube channel shortly after, and we'll discuss our draft grades. So that's what we got cooking for you guys this week. It's gonna be a lot, but we're excited to be on live with you guys as much as possible. I think it's probably the most lives we'll go in a week. Actually, we usually do throughout the season, we do it 3 or 4, 7 in 1 week. So you guys got us locked in. My girlfriend's gonna be pissed off about it, but she understands. She understands. The Chiefs are calling, and the Chief Concerns group is calling. So yeah, it's gonna be a busy week, but we're excited about it, and it all starts tonight and all kicks off tonight. Tasia, any words about the schedule coming up here this week? Excited?
It's gonna be busy. It's gonna be a busy week, but it's a huge week, right? It's like draft and Super Bowl week are like, you know, different parts of the schedule overall, but like they're just so like important for the rest. Ones that close out the season, ones are really the real start to the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. So guys, you guys have any questions about the schedule, if you guys have any questions about Tage's picks, please feel free, as always, to get in the comments and voice your questions and all that stuff. And I will randomly drop in. We have two questions tonight, two trivia questions tonight. I'll randomly drop them in tonight. So, all right. So Tasia, take it away, my man, with your first selection here tonight.
So I traded back at the end of the first round. Liked who was out there, didn't love it. Just thought that I could get equal value if I traded back and get, like Veach said, there's a lot of value in the second and third rounds here, especially for certain position groups. I think he said like the top 50 or 60, just a lot of receivers out there. And just a certain positional strength I like in the second round and third round for some of the things that we need. So I figured it was just best to trade back, pick up another couple picks to maybe use as ammo or maybe just take, and then draft Jalen Polk from Washington. So we've talked about him before on the show, but overall, from what I've seen, what I've read, he popped a lot when analysts and scouts were trying to watch film on other players. I'm sure you can guess who those players were. Sets up defenders well, great hands, technician, stacks cornerbacks, big and runs like a running back, but not as dynamic. Just knows how to run, has got the skill. Top end speed isn't amazing, but you know, it's functional. He's not slow by any means. Great tracking ability. From what I've seen, just a day one, just starter in the league, maybe not your top end number one stud, but a starting receiver. And if he's your number two, then you know, look out pretty much. Comps I saw weren't like blowing me away, but again, they're functional good receivers. They were for a decent time. So you're not going to love these. Mohamed Sanu and Josh Reynolds were his player comps.
Oof.
Not great, but starting receivers, right? So, like, you know, that's you don't get that drafted in the first round. Trade back, get some more picks, and get your starting receiver in there along with, you know, we have a lot of guys. So he'd be our fourth, fifth option. So that's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of smoke there. I think the one thing with Jalen Polk that picked up steam last week was when Peter Schrager of NFL Network actually mocked us to get him with pick 32. I know a lot of people still thought that was kind of a reach to get him at 32, but apparently a lot of people were high on him, higher than what the experts believe. And Schrager has got a little bit of he's got an ear to the door in Kansas City. I mean, him and Brett Veach know each other very well. So interesting that he picked Jalen Polk to come to Kansas City. That's the guy who knows his stuff as far as knows what's going on in Kansas City. That's very interesting. And obviously Josh Reynolds is not a sexy name by any means. We were linked to him earlier on the offseason, but these are guys who have had long NFL careers. Sanu and Josh Reynolds had long NFL careers. So
they're just good do-all receivers that are going to stay on the field all the time. Right. Because I didn't see anything negative about Polk. I just saw that he wasn't like killing anyone at anything, but he was really good at everything. And it wasn't that he was graded down by any means. From what I saw from guys that just ranked him lower in a stacked receiver class is that they just liked what other guys did more. It wasn't like he did things to make him come down. It was that certain other guys just did things to kind of make them kind of pull ahead of him. But God, everyone likes him for the most part. I've never seen that negative thing about him in general. The PFF guys are huge fans of him. They were just bigger fans of other guys. And in a stacked receiver class, guys are just going to be ranked lower than other guys. It might sound bad to say he's eighth or ninth, but eighth or ninth this year is like fourth or fifth or third or fourth in a lot of other years.
Yeah. Donna Cochran says Atlanta might need that for a Chiefs first round pick. It's true because there's the whole tampering thing going on with the Kirk Cousins thing right now. So that's a team that may have to lose picks at some point here.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get to the next...
They have the 70, I believe, 74th and 79th. So they do have two picks in that range. So, you know, if that's maybe something not expendable, because no pick's expendable, but you know, they have a little extra going on.
All right, so we're going to break in away. I know we have about 20 people in the chat right now. So we're going to go ahead and start with a first trivia, first prize giveaway of the night. So I'm going to stick with kind of a little bit of Chiefs history along with this guy that Tate just drafted here. So obviously Jalen Polk went to Washington, which was in the Big 12 or Pac-12. Now obviously that's disbanded a little bit, but we're going to stick to the Pac-12 because this past year is the last year of the Pac-12 being a thing. So Washington, Jalen Polk, who was the last Pac-12 receiver, and I'm going to specify receiver that we drafted from the Pac-12. Who was the last Pac-12 receiver that the Chiefs drafted? No, Pac-12 receiver. McDuffie. Obviously, cornerback from Washington. This is a tough one, guys. JD actually played with this guy. So that's the only hand I'm going to give you. JD played with this guy.
Wow.
Natasha, you can tell me if you knew this answer after someone gets it. So far, no one's got it. Not J.J. Bird. Nope.
Come on, guys. Know your timeline. JD didn't play with J.J. Bird.
Nope, not Sky. JD didn't play with Sky Moore either. And Sky Moore went to Western Michigan. That's a MAC school, not Pac-12. Go, we got 20 people in here. We got no one going with it. And he guessed it was LSU. No, that's incorrect. Dwayne Bowe was also LSU.
Yeah.
I'm not winning any college questions. Oh, come on, guys. So this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about a Chief Concerns headband that you're going to be rocking on game days, tailgates, anything you guys want. That's all yours. All right. Let me know if you guys want another hint here, because right now no one's getting it. No one's getting it. Okay, I'll give you a hint here. Another hint. It's another one. It's obviously a Pac-12 school. So Omni Brown guessed J.J. Burton. J.J. Burton went to what college? This player also went to that same college, but like 5-6 years later, or probably more than that. Because this the year this guy was drafted was 04.
Good job at Googling that now.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Let's see. And I'll tell you what, Chief fans had some problems with this guy's hands. I mean, that was a common thing here. Okay, now we got six people on the left of the room now, guys. Low in your chance here. Sleepy Face, Sammy. Sammy who? What's his last name? Come on, baby. Come on, baby. All right. Not Dwayne Bowe. Not Johnny Morton.
Because you said drafted by us.
Drafted.
Okay.
Pac-12 receiver that we last drafted. And I specify receiver because DeAnthony Thomas was drafted after this guy, but he was a running back drafted. Yeah, sleepy face, not Sammy Watkins. All right, D plus got Sammy Parker there. D plus got it before you. D plus with Sammy Parker. There you go. There you go. Omnibre, you're so close. Omnibre had the full name there. He was you're off by like a second there. So D plus gets the first giveaway of the night for Sammy Parker, Oregon receiver in 2004, the last Pac-12 receiver that the Chiefs drafted. So D plus. You can hit me up on chiefconcerns@yahoo.com with your email or with your address so I can ship this out to you at the latest. I'm gonna Brown. I don't even remember him. Come on, you don't remember Sammy Parker? Damn. Sammy Parker wasn't that good. I mean, I never said the guy was good, Lewis. I never said
he was good. If he was good, someone would have got it a lot sooner. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so the first giveaway goes to D+, chiefconcerns@yahoo.com. So, yeah.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
There you go. All right. So we're going to go to our next one. So Tasia, your next pick here.
So I took the 79th we got in the Atlanta trade and the 187 and the one we got from Tennessee in 2025. And I traded up to take another position of need. Another one that I've taken a lot of mock drafts in the first round. I've seen him go from anywhere to like mid second to late first. Kingsley Suamatea. I think I pronounced that right. Versatile tackle, explosive, a tad inconsistent. He falls into the project tackles, not more one of those sure things, but kind of a project. And I would feel a lot more comfortable taking a tackle project in the second than investing that first round into it, which is why I wanted to trade out, because at that point we don't have a lot of sure things anymore. And there are a lot of really good receivers that might be there at the end of the first, but they're so close to the receivers you can get in the second, which is why I traded out and did what we did. It would be a dream to get this guy in the second. You could, his salary would be lower. You could still re-sign a veteran to maybe hold that position down for one more year, stop gap at Don Smith, or just have him compete with Wanye or Kingsley would be the backup left tackle. The other guy would be the backup right tackle. We'd have great depth at that point. I would just be a little more worried about investing a first round into him. But, I mean, he's got his complaints. Everyone's like, oh, he's flawed. Of course, they're all. I mean, a lot of these guys are flawed at this point, especially at this point in the draft. But a good project to have at either tackle position.
Now, what are his? I know, project guy, right? What are his knocks from what you've read from a lot of these draft experts and stuff? What are his like biggest knocks, you'd say? Because that's the thing. I'm seeing Sleepy Face here is another Wanya Morris. It's like, how close to Wanya Morris is? Because I know Wanya Morris, what, round three we got him? It wasn't round two guy. He was round three guy.
From what I read, he's more of a shover. He gets more into shoving than blocking. He's more of a reactor instead of setting the pace on the block. So he lets the D lineman kind of dictate what he does next. And just inconsistent technique, which a lot of these guys at this range would have, right? All very coachable things. Great strength, good base, athletic, good starting experience. So he's got a lot of things going for him. He just does have, you know, just things that you could be coached out of. And we have great O-line coaching, so I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Kingsley's a popular guy that a lot of people are big fans of. I know our guy Lance is a huge Kingsley fan. And also, too, Andy Reid, big BYU guy. He loves his BYU guys. Also went there, too. So I'm sure I definitely taking a close look at this guy, but a BYU guy. So, yeah. I mean, it also fills a need. I'd rather stick with Wanya Morris and let's see what he has. 100%. I agree there, Lewis, but also, sure, too, bringing in this guy to maybe compete for that spot with Wanya. Let's say we don't bring back Donovan Smith. We're going to need some depth there at that left tackle spot. A lot of people are right. That's a good one, Teja. So you've been doing a lot of research on this stuff. Patrick Paul from Houston. Lewis is asking about Patrick Paul. I've read up on him. They come from a passing offense down there. I mean, it could be, you know, they pass 50 times a game down in Houston. So what are your thoughts on Patrick Paul? What have people been saying about him? Because I apparently he's rising up the boards for a lot of people.
He was a guy I was taking a lot in drafts in the second round when Kingsley was going much earlier. It was kind of him and the Yale tackle who would go around the same range. He's another one of those developmental tackles. So he has the size. He has the prototypical size you want. Really long arms. What they say about him is just not as athletic. Feet are a bit heavy. Hand placement can be off. Hands are also a little slow. And then lacks intensity as a run blocker. That's the PFF breakdown of him. They just worry about his hands and feet. Hmm. And I think Paul's someone, if you're like, we want a right tackle in the future, I would slate Paul there, which is why I think in most drafts he goes a little later than guys like Kingsley and Guyton, who can go anywhere from late first to, like, you know, early second, because those guys I think had the ability, more of the higher probability of making it at left tackle. Paul, I think you want to probably slate more at the right tackle off the bat right away.
Yeah, a D plus. You're saying this tackle class isn't deep. It's very deep. Problem is, you have a lot of good guys, like the premier dudes, but then you got a lot of guys who are projects who have the ability to high ceilings.
Yeah.
And that's where it's a lot of that. That's why there's so many project type guys. Yeah. But they all have the athleticism and all that stuff. It's just that, are they ready to be our left tackle tomorrow? From where we're picking, I don't think so. I think there's gonna be a lot of work and fine tuning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even if, honestly, like, some people are really hot and cold on Mims. Like, I don't think Mims is going to come in and be our starting left tackle either. I mean, you're talking about starting experience. Like, he doesn't have much of that. There's a guy I'm going to take later on in the draft who might have more left tackle experience than him, and he's a guard. So this draft, even the top end guys profile more as right tackles than left tackles. So, I mean, it's Alt is the surest thing at left tackle. And then you're starting, like, I think Alt's in his own little category, and then you have one little small step down, then you have a three or four guys, and you have another step down, a couple guys, and then you have your big group of development tackles.
Yeah. It's a lot of development tackles in this draft, but it's like the guys who these teams that, you know, have the athletic, they have the athletic ability to do that. So, I mean, it's a good year to draft a tackle, but it's going to be a lot of work. So I don't think day one, these guys are going to be coming in and blocking for Pat.
Yeah, and that's why I'd be more comfortable taking it in the 50s or in the second round.
Yeah. All right, about time. What's up, brother? We went over our schedule for the upcoming week earlier on. So everyone who's just getting in, we have a big week coming up for you guys. We're doing giveaways tonight. We've already given away one. It was for a receiver. The last time the Chiefs drafted a Pac-12 receiver, and that was in 2004. The guy went to Oregon. D-plus got it with Sammy Parker. So we're going to go to our next trivia soon. Tayshia, do you want to do a trivia tonight? Or do you have one for Do you have one, or do you want me to think of one for the next one?
My next pick?
No, I'm saying just in general. Do you want to do the next?
I don't have it. Sorry. I can, you know.
I'll do it for the next one. Not right now. We'll give it some time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So your next second round pick here.
Another second. So trade 64 and 221 for trade back a little bit. 67 to 139, 152. This trade was accepted in BFF. I don't know if that would be accepted. They'd have to really love the guy at 64 to trade up a few spots to go up there and get him and not think their guy's going to last. I don't know if I would get that trade in real life. I don't think the trade value definitely doesn't line up, but it was accepted in PFF. So, you know, they must have wanted that guy. Ruke Orororo. And it's, again, for everyone out there, it's a row, row, row your boat. And that came directly from him on how to pronounce his last name. So player comp at a BK, about 6'3", 6'4", around 300 pounds, can play DN, can play D tackle, needs to develop a little more on the pass rush front, more of just a bull beast push. Pound for pound, called one of the stronger D linemen in the draft. Again, can line up anywhere, solid against the run. Slightly shorter arms, but I think you just give us someone to start next to CJ sometimes at the end Omenihu comes back. Just more depth all over the line. I think we're going to go for versatility. That's my number one key this draft, guys who are just versatile.
Yeah, so as far as your draft so far, this is the first guy that you've had as far as from your previous drafts. The other two, I don't think.
I was close on Guyton and Kingsley, but I won Guyton in the end.
So this is your first repeat guy. What stands out to you about Ruke Orororo that, like, obviously you, me, and JD are both in the same mindset that we should draft a D tackle this draft, especially, yes. You know, we talk about Chris Jones always getting double teamed, never having the other guy to kind of do something, and having a guy with his talent could be huge for us. Why are you going with Ruke here as far as, like, a guy, because it sounds like if you were to do a top 10 sweetheart list, I feel like he would be one of your top 10 sweethearts.
Yeah, he probably would be on there. So this draft for me is all about versatility. I love what he brings. From what I've seen and read, he can play D-tackle and D-end. He can play pretty much across all fronts. Very, very scheme-friendly. I just think that's someone that Spags would want to throw out there. All effort, high motor, smart guy. Good kid, just goes out there and plays hard, extremely strong. Just needs to develop some more pass rushing moves. And again, coaching, I think that we can provide that and bring him to the next level. I think he's somebody you could play next to Jones. You could play someone on the end. You could put him all over the line.
Yeah. Looking here. Okay. This is an interesting one. All right. So we got trivia question number two for the night. This is the second and final one. You know, I'll do one more. I'll do three trivia questions. So we're going to do two more after this one. All right. Okay. So winner's going to get another one of these. This is a Chief Concerns headband. You guys can rock it wherever you want to. I mean, just a good way to support your favorite podcast. You're rocking that out, whether tailgating, wherever you want to. All right. So since Tate drafts a D tackle here, and this is something that I've been questioned on for the last, I don't know, since we've been doing the show, JD and I have been questioning the fact that we don't draft defensive tackles in the first two rounds of drafts. So, besides Chris Jones, who was the last defensive tackle that was drafted in rounds one or two outside of Chris Jones? Who was that defensive tackle in rounds one or two, since this guy's a second-round pick here in Tage's draft? Who was the last defensive tackle besides Chris Jones who was drafted in the first two rounds of a Chiefs draft? Who was that guy? D-plus, I love you going old school with Ryan Sims there, but Vegas Chiefs Kingdom pulls it out with Terry Poe. There you go. And on the Brown got a little bit late behind Vegas Chiefs Kingdom. Vegas Chiefs Kingdom, you are the winner. You got the Chief Concerns headband. Good call there. Terry Poe 2012 draft there with the 11th pick overall. It's interesting to kind of dive back and just see we don't really draft defensive tackles in the early rounds of the draft. I mean, outside of Chris Jones, every other defensive tackle has been third round or beyond. I mean, Coburn was like a sixth round pick last year. We don't really draft guys. Nadi was a third round pick also. So it seems like third round is where Beach likes to find a defensive tackle. So far, he hasn't really hit on that. But you know, maybe this draft you'll get your guy Ruke here. But Vegas Chiefs Kingdom, email address chiefconcerns@yahoo.com. Send me your address and I'll get this headband out to you as soon as possible. And again, same with you, D plus, chiefconcerns@yahoo.com. Just give me your address and I'll get this thing to you. All right, Tej, we're going to go to third round.
A guy I've taken previously. I really hope we end up with him. It's the, I think, the only pick I've stayed at where we were previously. So at 95, Cooper Beebe out of K-State. I've gone crazy over these stats. I'll just go ahead and say them again for anyone that hasn't heard him yet. So he's played a ton of snaps everywhere. Technically sound, has some stiffness, more of a straight runner power, not as agile on the left and east and west. Power player, though, has played a whole season at left tackle. Over his career, he has 700 snaps at left tackle, 1,600 at left guard, 20 at right guard, and almost 500 at right tackle. And the amazing part is he's pretty much graded out in the same amongst all of them. He's played different positions in the same game. He's played different positions every game to start season sometimes. It just didn't matter for him. Again, versatility. One of the best pass protecting profiles from a guard that some scouts have seen in quite some time. I've seen him mocked anywhere from late second to late third. If we can get him at third without moving up, amazing. If we have to move up a few spots to get him, I'm fine with that too. I just think with the uncertainty we have in certain players and positions next year, Trey Smith might not be someone we resign because we're going to have to maybe choose between him or Creed. And we also lost Allegretti. So he's someone who can come in and be our primary interior backup and then our starter for the next 3 years on the cheap after Trey Smith departs.
Yeah, I love that. Another repeat guy from you is Cooper Beebe here. Obviously, our Chiefs Kingdom loves their Kansas State, Missouri guys. Any way you can find any of those types of guys coming out of those schools there. But yeah, he's the next Allegretti. Yeah, you could say he's the next Allegretti. He could be the next Joe Tooney. He could very well be.
Or next Trey Smith.
I mean, the fact that his versatility and he's so good at playing all his positions, it really does remind me of Joe Tooney, also a third round pick. Also a guy who's filled in at left tackle. Also a guy who plays guard. Also a guy who does a lot of different things. So, I mean, yeah, you'd say Allegretti, and that's the thing. You know, Tej, would you agree with this? As a floor, he's an Allegretti. As a ceiling, this guy is a Joe Tooney.
I mean, ceiling, yeah. You say ceiling, he's one of the better guards in the league for the past. I mean, yeah, they say he's an instant starter. Just like he's a guy who's going to be a starter for a very long time. O-line, I just think you can get a guaranteed starter for the next 8-10 years, third round, you do that. I just think it's a no-brainer.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
We're going to have – it's not an immediate need. What kind of is, though? Because everyone's like, oh, we'd be our backup. Our immediate backup guard is pretty damn important. That guard started in the Super Bowl. So I think that's important as a standalone. And some people disagree on drafting for future possible needs, but Trey Smith might be gone. You're looking at our possible next starter for the next 3 years after that. So combine those two things, I think it is a pretty big need.
100%. And it's a third round pick too. So it's not like we're waiting. I mean, yeah, it's a third round pick, but I mean, it's a guy who could very well play right out the gate. And also could be ready to fill in someone's shoes if someone goes down.
Yeah.
You mentioned Allegretti's already filled in the Super Bowl this past Super Bowl, and he filled in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl too. So, like, that guard position is very crucial to us, obviously, and especially having a guy like Al Grady all throughout the years who could play and fill in different spots. It's a necessity whether this guy starts this year or next year. And also, it could be a guy who takes over the Trey Smith role or potentially Joe Tooney in maybe 2 years, two, 3 years.
Yeah, because his contract's massive. You never know what's going to happen with him. He's getting up there. Who knows how much longer he's going to play? Guards can play for a long time, and Tooney's got that build to him. He's just like, he's the kind of guy who could play until he's really old. But still, you just don't know. It's uncertain.
Different mock drafts you've seen, do they have him going even further than this? Do they have him going in the fourth round, or is he usually his third?
You know, it's funny. I tested it out a couple of times. I tried to trade back a couple spots and get him, and he like went like right afterwards. Or the team that traded up to 95 took him. So, yeah, I don't – in the beginning, I could go back a little further back, maybe like eight spots. No, not lately, though. And a lot of people's mock drafts, he goes in the second, too. So, you know, it's going to be – I mean, they all have a feel of when they can possibly – what his sweet spot is. So, we'll see. Or they can have another guard they like. There are guards around this area that are, you know, that another guys that people like. Mahogany out of BC, people like him a lot. A little smaller as far as, like, height. He's, like, 6'3". So there are other guards that people like around this area. So, you know, if they think certain guys are very close, they might not want to trade up for BB. They just say stand where they are. There are some tackles that project as guards. The Kansas one, I forgot his name. Don't kill me. So there are other options in case we do miss out. So if you see him getting selected in the second, just know that we probably weren't going to go that early on him, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be interesting because this is one of the few guys. It's always interesting. Every draft, there's always guys like, you know, by looking at them, they're going to be a guy, like they're going to be a starter. And it's like second, third round, like, damn, like they just got that guy. He's going to start for them. You know, it's always interesting seeing that. But again, as we always talk about, we watch these drafts and it's like, oh, I may not see it, but I trust Brett Veach. And at the end of the day, that's the kind of beauty about having a front office where you trust in a way where it's like back in the, there's been years where I'm sure all of us can agree. There's been years before the Brett Veach era was like, what are we doing here? What's this draft pick? And now like, we understand, like we get it. Like they see something, you know, and I'm gonna stick with it. And if I don't like the pick, I'm gonna come on the show and I'm gonna rationalize it somehow. I'm gonna tweet about it and I'm gonna rationalize why we picked that guy and defend Brett Veach till the very end on whoever he drafts, even if I don't like it.
Again, I'm more into the position. So as long as it's, you know, if they drafted another guy and like maybe they traded back in like the late third or early fourth to grab a guard, I'm like, okay, it makes sense. I mean, BB, they just didn't see it as a high need to get, you know, to invest a higher pick into him. And they wanted this guy instead. They thought they were close. I get it. Like, it's fine. Like, I do think we'll get a guard around this. Cause you know, the past few years or, you know, 10, 20 years, we've talked and it's like, we get another guy, the position. And like you or one of our other brothers who watches the drafts, like, oh, are you sad you didn't get your guy? I'm like, no, not really. Like, I'm happy that I got the position. I'll be happy when I get the position right. That's what I like. Like, if we get another guard they like more, I'm like, no, because I pegged the position. I thought we'd get that. So as long as they get somebody they like a lot and that's the thing they want to get, then route they want to go, then sure.
I will say, I do get a little salty when it's a team, like, in our division who drafts one of my draft crushes.
Then yeah, that sucks. Off.
Yeah, that sucks. Like, Xavier Leggett, like, if the Broncos or the Chargers drafted him, I'll be pissed off about that because, you know.
Yes. And BB's someone I'm going to track now. Like, I'm going to keep up with his like career and like, and want to know how he's doing.
That's a guy you probably put, if like, we're talking about draft crushes, and this is a guy you've already drafted in previous mock drafts. Yeah. This is a guy that you'd be buying his stock. If he was a stock, would
yes,
you buy
him? I'm definitely going to keep up with BB's career and see how he's doing. There are guys I do that with over the years.
Yeah.
One guy I did that with many, 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 many years ago. I want us to draft him. He had an unfortunate end to his career, but Carl Nix, the guard that played for the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Huge Carl Nix fan going to draft. He went so friggin' late. So I was like, guys, draft him. He's your starting guard. Get him.
Yeah. It's also guard too. People take that position for granted. I mean,
yeah,
think about it. We drafted Trey Smith in the sixth round. He's been our starting guard for 3 years now.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? That might be a reason why we're not going to invest in a guy like this at this point. Because there are some other guards I like in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds I see go really late that they project at starter at guards. So, you know, what was one of them? I think he's a tackle. I think Isaiah Adams is his name from Illinois. He was a right tackle, but they project him at a guard, starting guard. It's like, you know, they have him going in like the fourth or fifth. Is that a guy they target instead? Very, quite possibly.
I got a question from Melly Matrix, going back to your first round pick. Why Polk over Leggett?
Again, I'm not too I wouldn't say, like, if they drafted Leggett, I would be like, oh, they didn't get my guy. I'm not married to Polk by any means. I just think Polk does a lot of things well, to the point where he's an easy plug. And I think for us, I want a guy who's just ready to play, like, right now. I want, like, NFL-ready players, like, today. Not to say Leggett's not. I just think Polk's a lot more easily, more versatile and easily adjusted to being the number 2-3 guy off the bat and ready to play. Especially on a team where he was already the number two and excelled in that role. And they had a good, really good three at receiver. So the fact that he stands out in tape, it's not to say I'm against Leggett by any means. If we drafted him, I'd be like, that's fine. If they think he's the guy to come in and fill in while Rice is suspended, because he will be suspended, and then still be able to be the number 3, 4, 5 option on our team, then by all means. I just like that Polk doesn't have any real big weaknesses. I like that he does a lot of things really well. He's just a solid prospect.
The interesting, I got to a little back and forth with somebody on Twitter earlier today, because Leggett, obviously we had a visit with Xavier Leggett, so that's obviously on our radar. And someone was like, and I was like, I don't mind having a DK Debo hybrid on the team. I wanted Treylon Burks a couple years ago because he was very much like that. I think Leggett's got a little bit more to him, I would say. But someone was like, I don't want a guy. No, thanks. I don't want a guy who has no body of work in college, which is fair outside of 1 year, which is fair. But then my counter to that was, Brett Veach said last week his biggest draft regret was not drafting DK Metcalf, who also, you look at his numbers in college, didn't do much. His numbers were not sexy or flashy, and you would think, oh, that's not going to translate over to the NFL. And look, DK Metcalf has been amazing. Brett Veach is saying it's one of his biggest draft regrets and mistakes is not drafting DK Metcalf. So if they do see the DK Metcalf, Xavier Leggett, like, comparison there, just because he only had 1 year of body of work in college, then, like, there you go. I mean, for people to write off a guy because they didn't really show out in college, I think that's stupid.
No, it's dumb. It's totally dumb.
It's so dumb, because you really can't compare the two. I get the being scared by that, but at the end of the day, Leggett did show out this past year, maybe not the years before that, but his most recent season, he was fine. Metcalf, for 3 years, didn't do anything in college. Yeah, he had decent numbers, but they didn't blow off the charts. And look what he's done in his career, so.
No, and I think Metcalf excelled really well with Seattle, and I've heard scouts talk about this, because Seattle was like, okay, you do, like, one thing extremely well. We're going to have you do that. In the meantime, develop your other skills, but still get use out of you in that regard, right? Leggett's really good at high-pointing the catch, very good at contested catches, and just, like, a built beast, like a slightly shorter, smaller Metcalf. I'm trying to get away from he's limited in his routes, just like Metcalf was. Metcalf developed. The problem is if you don't develop that, right? So Polk doesn't really need that fine tuning. He's ready to come in and do whatever you need him to do, wherever he needs to be. And with our team, where we have a lot of guys who do specialized things really well, I think we kind of need guys who can do a little of everything. And Polk can line up anywhere. And he's a technician. He's got all that on him. And I don't think we have a lot of guys like that, or at least not successful ones. Yeah. We supposedly had guys that could do it all, but they haven't done it all. And I think with Rice developing, and I think he's got his certain strong suits. And I think Hollywood Brown obviously has his main strong suit that he does. And he can do other things too. But I think it's good to have Polk in there to put at a position when Rice is out. And when Rice is back, you can just line him up anywhere. And he can do anything you ask him to do. I want that for us. I think we need a guy like that.
So to answer Lewis Cuthbert's question, what's so special about Polk? Polk is a ready to go guy. Yeah. And also, I've heard Schrager was talking about how a lot of experts are calling Polk this year's Puka Nacua, which is, you know, interesting. Puka Nacua doesn't really blow you off the charts with anything, really. but he's a solid guy. And we saw that what they were able to do with him in Los Angeles the past year. So do you see the Puka Nacua kind of comparisons? I know you mentioned Josh Reynolds as a player comp, but people are comparing him to a Puka Nacua type guy in this year.
Yeah, because Puka's kind of like a rich man's Reynolds, isn't he?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, right? Even like the long hair, too. Yeah, I guess I could see that. I mean, his comps, I mean, what were his comps? Reynolds and Sanu. I guess he kind of has that in him. From listening to the PFF guys, they didn't mention him. They just said, like, Poke's just really solid. And he'll be your badass number two or three out there. Again, I'm not like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised or disappointed if we went like it. It doesn't matter for me. They're both really good at high pointing. Yeah. Poke, some people say, you know, slightly limited on the routes, but I think he's got a little more route running ability than Leggett does. But again, I think these guys are like next to each other on like most people's rankings.
Yeah.
So like they're right near each other.
And we brought in the number three receiver from Washington. We brought in McMillan. So
that's right.
He's going to go later on in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. He's more, he's from what I've read is more, relegated to the slot at this point.
Ah, okay. So he'd be more Sky Moore kind of guy.
He'd be more of our, yes. If we were like Sky ain't doing it. Hey, if we draft McMillan, Sky Moore's got, you know, he grabbed his deli number. Okay. About ready to check out. That's what that means.
So well, for the people who are trying to draw comparisons to Sky Moore and Jalen Polk, they're two totally different type of guys. Cause people are trying to compare Sky to Polk here.
Oh, I would say, yeah, I would say Sky's more,
McMillan.
McMillan. Okay. Polk's 6'2", like 205, dude. I
mean, yeah, he's a big kid. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not like, he's a high point contested catch guy.
Yeah.
Go up and get it. Strong hands, really, really strong hands. So yeah, I don't see that. I don't, yeah. Especially now when he's getting comparisons to those other guys I talked about. They're both
it's
guys. Sanu was a man, like he was a big dude.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would say Polk for me. It's like if you're describing your significant other, the girl you're seeing, like, oh, you know, how she like personality wise, how she like, you know, looks wise. A good solid 7.5. This is 7.5. You know, I'm not gonna give you a 10, not a 10. This is good, solid 7.5. It's like a solid. Yeah. It's a solid prospect, guys. So yeah, I would love Polk, especially if we're gonna move back and get some more assets out of it. I would love this. But let me ask you though. I know you're a big Troy Franklin fan. Let's say Troy Franklin's on the board at 32.
Franklin
and Ladd McConkey at 32. Are you trading?
I was gonna say if you trade back and get Franklin.
No. If Polk is
Franklin was on the board when I did this trade.
And Ladd?
Yes, they both were, I believe.
And you'd still do this?
Yeah, because the more and more I read, I used to choose that a lot. The more and more I read, the more and more I watch. It's just so stacked. This receiver class is so stacked. These guys are so close. If you can get another guy, it's like saying, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Ladd or Franklin or Polk and Kingsley? You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about here? If we could trade back at a very, very, very similar guy to those guys, not an actual profile, but like in like ranking and like how they project. If we can get that guy and then get another pick, like that leads to like another second or third round pick. I mean, it's not even close for me.
Yep. All right.
I love Ladd. I've loved Ladd throughout this process a lot. I like Franklin. That's the thing. Like I've had so many different crushes. And after a while, I was like, shoot, dude, I actually wouldn't mind a lot of these guys. Like, screw it. They have a lot of different fun things that you want. They're not like the top receiver type guy in a draft. But in a weaker year, these guys could have gone like in the 20s.
Yeah, no, I've heard that. I've heard that about Polk, about Franklin, about all these guys that if there was no Marvin Harrison, there's no Neighbors, there's no Romo.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories.
But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The news is these guys are the top receivers in the draft class.
Yeah. I've looked at Franklin and Polk against like last year's, and I think one of the websites I go to, I think their overall rating was like point three less, point two less than like the guys that went in the early 20s.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's what our guy D Plus said. As Chief fans, we just want them to catch the ball, and that's that's the God's honest truth there, D Plus. That is the God's honest truth.
These guys do that. Strong hands.
Yeah. Honestly, insert Xavier Leggett, insert Ladd McConkey. I love this draft class so much that I wouldn't be pissed off about any of the guys we've talked about. Franklin, Leggett, Polk, McConkey. Any of these guys. I would not be pissed off about any of them.
Totally. Yeah. Like I said, I'm more about the position than I am the player. How they think certain guys can fit into what we're doing. Then I'm down for it. It doesn't matter to me. I don't like any. If there was one, watch us get this guy. If there was one guy in all the first or second round receivers, I think I'd be the most disappointed in
Brian Thomas.
You know, at 32, I think after some of the stuff I've read about him, I think I would be. I think someone's going to take him earlier than that anyway. Though, so luckily, we'll be bailed out. But you're right about that. That would be one in the first round.
He's a guy. I'm like, yeah.
I think Corley for me in the second round.
Yeah. Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be like, oh man, like, all right, sure. If you guys think you're going to make them a thing, then go ahead. Like that would be my, like, I trust you guys. Like there's a different range or a scale there. I think that would be like really high 90s for like, all right, I trust you guys. You guys know more than me. Like yeah. that's what I have to hope for. I'm an idiot. And they're the geniuses in the room.
D plus, this is you're talking to Tasia here, who was first mock he had. Jermaine.
Oh, dude, I'm a Burton guy. Believe me, man. I just with the problems we're having currently, I'm just skeptical on us pulling the trigger on that. Like, I love Burton. Burton is talent wise. Talk about a guy who, if he was a good teammate and a good guy on the field, out of temper, he like ranks right outside the top three.
Mm-hmm.
Among a lot of guys, the PFF guys were doting over him.
Yeah,
and one of the guys was pressing the guy because he couldn't come up with the number four receiver on his list, and the other dude was like, stop being a wuss and just say who the number four is. And he's like, Burton, that's who the fourth most talented receiver is.
Yep.
But they say, I mean, Burton is off the board for a lot of teams.
Yep.
So. Here's a question, though. If he's not off our board, then how high do you go with him? You don't have to trade back.
There's also going to be pushback with if we draft him.
Too. Oh, totally. But I don't think he has brushes with the law. His stuff's like on the field.
No, but they could say, oh, it's going to translate. And they already have problems with shooting off the field. Then you got this going on. Yeah. It's a headache for sure. But we're back into another guy who we've actually brought on a visit since a disciplinary running with the law.
And my question would be, how long is Kelsey going to stay with us? Because if Kelsey can stay, if you think Kelsey's going to stay for 3+ years, then draft Burton. Because if there's someone that can teach another guy how to calm his temper to make it functional and put it on the field instead, it's Kelsey. Because his biggest problem is he's intense. He talks a lot of shit to cornerbacks, and he has a bad temper. Yep. But if you can get a guy like Kelsey, who that's kind of a lot of what he had coming out of college too, which is why he slipped a little bit.
Yep.
And that's Kelsey. So if you think Kelsey's going to stay for 3+ years, then I'd say you draft Burton, have him coach him up, and have him learn how to control that temper of his.
Yep. All right, we're going to go back to another guy who has off-the-field issues, who the Chiefs have brought in on since his run-in with the law a couple weeks ago. His Chiefs brought him in on a visit. His guy's probably going to slip in the draft because of the run-in with the law last week. Actually, it's this guy right here. Take it away.
So traded up for this, traded for 139 and 173 to Jacksonville to get to 114. He goes around this range in the mock drafts I've been doing. I guess it depends on how far you think he slips, right? And some of these kind of more one-dimensional big T tackles like this tend to kind of fall a little bit sometimes. But massive plugger. Reason we wouldn't have to keep doing one-year deals with Nadi eventually. Like, you probably stop that after you get him and be like, all right, he's our cheap option for the next 4 years. Between Ruke, Sweat, Jones, Nadi,
Pinnell,
we have a nice rotation of D-tackles with a lot of different things. Not only is he a plugger, too, he's shown a lot of pass rush improvement over the last year, from 22 to 23. Now, he's not someone you need to take on double teams because you have Jones, but if Jones comes off for a breather, he's someone who can take on double teams. And Jones does come off the field a fair amount. I don't mind that to keep him fresh for all season. So that's someone you can keep on the field to take double teams and allow other people to free up with one-on-ones. Or if you have Jones taking on a double team, he's going to eat up single. So either way, you have a nice, fierce D-line, and you have a plugger next to Jones, and you can sub in a lot of guys to keep him fresh in case he can't keep his weight down and he's a two-down player.
Yeah, I would love this. It really tackles this whole D-tackle stuff we've been talking about. I think it's an overcorrection, but I love overcorrections. I just think more so with I know we brought this guy on a visit, but with this Burton stuff going on and then with the Rice stuff going on, I think there's a higher chance we would draft Burton with his on-field issues rather than drafting Tavondre Sweat with what he's dealing with right now because of the Rashee Rice situation. If the Rashee Rice thing never happened, I would say Tavondre Sweat, boom, right away. But, yeah.
But if you listen to Veach talk about guys with checkered stuff going on, he talked about, like, how they trust their process. So that means he's already kind of justifying taking somebody that's got some kind of checkered past here.
Yep. Yep. All right. We're going to get into some breaking news here in a second after Tasia finishes up. All right. And then last pick is a four-round pick. It's a four-round mock draft. Tasia, your last pick of the draft here.
So this one for me was kind of tough. I just said BPA, CB at this pick. Whichever guy they think fits their DB room, take him here. I like DJ James. I've seen him go a little earlier. I've seen him go a little later. I think this pick got like a C- on the PFF mock draft. 6'1", about 165, so he's a little light. That's one of his knocks. Extremely physical at the line. Loves the press man. Great instincts. Plays really well in short spaces. Can get beat deep a little bit, right? I think with that D line that I talked about a minute ago, this guy won't need to cover for very long after like 2 seconds anyway. So, one of his other knocks is because he's so light, not as good as a run supporter, but willing, just at 165. He ain't doing much. It's Deshaun Jackson trying to tackle somebody. So, that does hurt him a little bit, but I think he could develop that, put on some NFL weight. And as long as the mentality's there, I don't mind the weight as much.
Yeah. I love the length. I love the fact that we're going to get a cornerback late in the draft. Not because I know some people are saying all of a sudden going to draft a cornerback in the first round now. I think that I don't think it's going to happen. So I think this is more our jam, really, as far as what we're going to do as far as cornerback or any DB.
Jam, pun intended.
Yeah, there you go.
And they said another perk I'm reading of his is great, obvious pre and post snap communicator, which I think that's really important for us as well.
For sure. Yeah, I would be totally fine with this. All right, so we're going to get into some breaking news here. So I'll just read it out loud. So as our guys, Amda Brown said in the chat, Mark Donovan, Brett Veach, and Andy Reid have been signed to contract extensions. So I love this because this means Andy Reid will not field any retirement questions for a long time, hopefully. So according to Tom Pelissero, Chiefs chairman and CEO Clark Hunt told Andy Reid he wanted to make him the NFL's highest paid coach. And now he is on a deal that runs through 2029. GM Brett Veach is also under contract through the end of the decade as KC launches his quest for a three-peat. So this is stuff that we knew was coming eventually. Now it's announced 3 days before the NFL draft. This is great news. Everyone's definitely happy about this to know that we have our coach and our GM intact for the next 7 years. It's amazing. This is really amazing. I know everyone gets scared around the Super Bowl every last 2 years. Oh, is Andy Reid gone? Is this it? Is this his swan song? Is he going to go out on top? Well, no. He's going to go out on top in 7 years when he's already got 6 rings by that point. But Tasia, thoughts on the contract extensions for Brett Veach and Andy Reid? 2029, we got these guys.
Both extended to 2029?
It says, yeah, I think they're connected. Andy Reid's till 2029, and it's also said Brett Veach is all as well till the end of the decade.
So. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's amazing news. It's not like a surprise to me. I didn't think we were going to let either one of them go anyway, but it's just nice to see it. It's nice to see it before the draft too. Hopefully, if anything, it stops us from getting the annoying pro football talk comments about retirement and stuff like that. I'm over it. I'm sure they are too. So it gets rid of that, and it gets rid of any kind of, you know, chatter about that. I love it. It's amazing.
Well, I also love the fact that not only is he getting extended, but I think the fact that he's the highest paid NFL coach now. I mean, I think that's well deserved. I know everyone always talks about how, like, you know, Travis Kelce, yeah, he's the best tight end. He's not getting paid top money. We have Patrick Mahomes getting paid top money. And then now you finally have the head coach who's pretty much a lot of people that are say he's the reason why we are having all this success. And now he's getting top money for a head coach. What do you think about that? The fact that we've locked up in this offseason, Spags, Andy Reid, Joe Cullen, now Brett Veach. I mean, it's honestly unreal. Thoughts on just the fact that he's the highest paid coach now in the league.
What's funny about that too is that it's kind of, I mean, Andy Reid is getting older, right? So it's like, as you get older, yeah, you do think about retirement more. You think about stop working. You think about not doing this anymore. Money does have to kind of speak to you after you get older. Like you have to need that extra stuff to be like, yeah, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. What about this pile of cash? All right, yeah, 2029. I'm free. Let's do it. That's great. So it's like, you know, I think he needs a little extra incentive on top of, you know, winning more championships with Mahomes. And I think it's about time. And it also gets rid of some of those, those cheap owner comments we get, right? Because that comes right out of the owner's pocket, even though it's not an over salary cap. Yeah. It's still a lot. It's still a lot of money to show out. So I like that we know what's important. And it's this, and not necessarily, you know, not that I'm dogging the weak facilities that we have, but if you're going to spend on something, spend on this. Why do you choose? I don't know. You shouldn't have to choose, but you know.
I'm going to just read you guys real quickly what is being said. Can you see this, Tasia?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Clark Hunt. Mark, Brett, and Andy have achieved historic success together, and we are thrilled that they will continue in their roles for many years to come. Hunt said, individually, Mark, Brett, and Andy each represent the best in the NFL at their respective positions, and together they make up one of the finest leadership teams in all professional sports. They have been tremendous leaders for this organization on and off the field, and we look forward to their continued success in the years ahead. I'll take what Veach said. So this is what Veach said. I'd like to thank Clark and the entire Hunt family for the support I've received these past 7 seasons. I am blessed to work alongside very talented people and am proud of the work we've done to bring 3 Super Bowls to Kansas City. I'm excited to continue my career in a city that's embraced me and my family the way it has, and look forward to more opportunities to bring more championships to Chiefs Kingdom. And then lastly, we're going to talk to our guy. We're going to hear from Andy Reid. I'm incredibly grateful to Clark and the entire Hunt family for giving me the opportunity to lead this historic franchise. Over the last 11 years, Tammy and I have enjoyed calling Kansas City our home. The community has embraced us. We've watched our family grow, including having all 12 grandkids during our time here. On the field, there have been so many people that have contributed to our success and Super Bowls, and I'm grateful to the players, coaches, and staff that have all invested their time into this process. I'd also like to thank my agent, Bob Lamont. Chiefs Kingdom is a special place, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity to be here. So,
that's awesome.
Andy Reid, man, and the guys. I am so happy about that, guys.
It's a feel-good story. It's really nice. It's the right moves, man. They really are. It makes you feel secure. It makes him feel secure. It makes me feel secure.
Oh, yeah. Well, it honestly, for me, I know everyone's pissed off about all this whole football talk trying to, you know, say he was retiring, all this stuff. The last 2 years, he's had to do on the stage, Terry Bradshaw, 2 years ago. Hey, Andy, is this it? This is your swan song? It's like, no, man, I want to enjoy my Super Bowl. You know, I just want to enjoy it. After the game is past here, he goes to the set. They're asking him about the retirement again. Like, well, leave the guy alone. And now this is going to take him off his back for the next 7 years. So I'm sure beyond being the highest paid coach, I'm sure he's happy now. He hopefully won't have to field questions about retirement with this contract and this being said. So good way. Hey, I'll tell you what, great way to start draft week, guys.
Yeah.
Great way
to start draft week. One last question to answer. And, you know, we have a, it's good that we have a secured staff too for a while, because these guys that we might be drafting might have question marks. You want a good locker room there. And hopefully this also means that Kelce stays
long. Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Because, you know, we talked about Kelce and Andy Reid leaving together. We've mentioned that before.
Yeah, so, it sounds like his timeline's more with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, kind of.
Seven years, at least.
Yeah. That's a good chunk of it. But, you know, if maybe this incentivizes Kelce to be like, you know, Big Red, if you can last that long, I'll last that long. How about that, man? So that'd be, yeah.
So this is interesting. So, so Donna and everyone's making the point here that the Chiefs' lease is up in 2030. That's timing up kind of perfectly with that. If the Chiefs are looking to move at the end of the maybe end in Kansas City together in 2029, they move to, Kansas. I don't know. You guys who are in that area are going to have to keep us in the loop on all the stuff that's going on there with Jackson County and all that stuff. I mean, I'll be reading a little bit about it. But let's end with the final giveaway of the night. We're going to give away three headbands. We got 30 people in the chat, a little bit more as our last trivia question. All right, since we're talking about Patrick Mahomes here, we're going to stick to quarterbacks. Quarterbacks is not a need for us, so this is a fun one. Who was the last quarterback the Chiefs drafted besides Patrick Mahomes? Who was the last quarterback the Chiefs drafted besides Patrick Mahomes? I'll give you a hint. He was a Pac-12 quarterback. So, well, come on, guys. Give it to me. Who is this guy? The last quarterback the Chiefs drafted besides Patrick Mahomes. Shane Buechele, no. It was not Shane Buechele. Come on, guys. An easy one. Pac-12 quarterback. Come on, guys. No, guys. This is it. Nope. He was a Pac-12 quarterback. He actually started a game or two with Cleveland Browns after us. He left us and went to. Do you know this guy is, Tisha? Don't say it if you know it. Just curious. No. Shane Michelle went to SMU, I believe. Smith. We didn't draft Alex Smith. Casey Printers. Where did Casey Printers go? It's way before this guy.
Yeah.
It's not Casey Printers. Ricky Stanzi, Iowa, so not Pac-12. And no, this was after Ricky Stanzi. As a matter of fact, I think it was this Reed's first draft when we drafted this guy? 2013 was his first draft. This is a 2016 draft. This is the same draft of DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill. So that's the draft the last time before Patrick Mahomes. All right. So I've given you all these hints already, guys. All right. Should I get another question? You guys are going to do this one? Because I'm saying a lot of Casey Printers, and it's not Casey Printers. Tennessee kid. No, he's a
fun.
Tyler Bray is who you're thinking of, D-plus. And I believe Tyler Bray was actually undrafted.
Yeah, I think he was undrafted.
Yeah, he was undrafted. Yeah, because we drafted this guy in 2016, and then 2017 is when Mahomes came. Trubisky. Now, we never drafted Trubisky, and he's UNC.
Trubisky.
Guy went to Stanford. I think he was the first quarterback to take over after Luck, I believe. Come on, guys. I'm trying to get his headband away, guys. Come on. USC QB, laugh my ass off. No, he's Stanford kid. Started a game or two for the Browns. Now, Murray was the year before this guy, Jeremy. You're the closest so far, though. I'll tell you that much. Yeah, Murray was drafted 2 years before this guy. Murray was 2014 draft. This guy was 2016. Jeremy Olsen, there you go. I'm glad you got Murray. Yeah, it's Kevin Hogan. Jeremy Olsen, there you go. Kevin Hogan from Stanford. Kevin or Jeremy, you get your chief concerns headband, buddy. All right, guys. We'll enough of the trivia questions for now. I'm glad we got three people who've gotten giveaways tonight with the Chief Concerns headbands. We're going to try to do giveaways for every episode we have this week, at least on our channel. But again, this is our schedule for the week, guys. So I hope everyone kind of sets your markers for this. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be fun. And I'm really excited to let's break down draft week. I feel like once draft week's done, guys, we're almost steamrolling to the
we're going downhill. We're taking our foot off the gas, and we're just going to let it take us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Jeremy, chiefconcerns@yahoo.com. Send me your address so I can get your headband to you. And same with D+, and same with – who was the other winner tonight? Wasn't Amda. Who's my other winner tonight? You guys remember this. Oh, it was Vegas Chiefs Kingdom. So, yeah. Chiefconcerns@yahoo.com. Send me your address. We'll get you guys the goodies. But that'll do for us. Love you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed our mock draft Mondays over the last few weeks. I will send JD your love that you guys sent him tonight to be with him and his family. Again, guys, we'll see you guys Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our midweek show. Our guy Lance has spoken, says he wants to come on, and we're going to have Lance come on for a little bit on Wednesday night. Yeah, a little Lance has spoken action. But then again, this is the schedule we have for the rest of the week, guys. So we hope everyone enjoys your night. Hope everyone enjoys the episode. And I will get those headbands to the winners tonight. See you guys Wednesday. Love you, everybody.
Love you all. Later on.
See you guys.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.